2 again, verse number 9, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." The fullest revelation God has given of himself to his creation is that which he has revealed in Christ Jesus his Son. It is the very picture of God for us. It is the revelation of God for us in Christ Jesus. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 6, what Paul writes here concerning this revelation of Christ. 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 6. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Notice what he says there again. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts." Hath shined in our hearts to give. What has he shined in us? That what is it that he has for us to understand in that revelation to us, but to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. He has shined in our hearts. He has revealed himself to us in such a way that we might be able to see the glory of God. God has created all that he has created that he might reveal himself to that creation. He has made all that he has made. He has worked all that he has accomplished. Even the very stars of the heaven declare the glory of God. He has worked everything that it might be to us, that through that he might reveal himself to us. But the fullness of that, the fullness of that revelation that he has shined in our hearts to give us that understanding, to show us that glory of himself, is in the face of Jesus Christ. There, all of creation, you see, all of creation glorifies God. But it is in the person of Christ. It is in the face of Christ Jesus himself that it is revealed to us who God is. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. This revelation, notice again he says, this revelation is a particular revelation. And it is given by God to the heart of his people. It's to us that he reveals this reality of Christ. He gives it to his people. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts." Shined in our hearts. It is a particular revelation given, again, by God to the heart of his people. And he gives that revelation of Christ. He gives that revelation of Christ to the hearts of his people that we might know him. That we might know him. That we might be able to see a glimpse of his glory. That we might know him. The fullest of revelations to the hearts of the elect is a revelation that the angels, Peter says, desire to look into. They desire to see that. They desire to understand that fullness of Christ that is given unto us. It's a mystery to them, but it is what God has revealed to the very hearts of his people, to see that fullness of Christ Jesus, that he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. This revelation that Paul talks about here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 6, This revelation cannot be understood or discerned by reason or intellect. It is only spiritually discerned. It is only spiritually discerned. And this only comes, that spiritual discernment only comes by the Spirit of God. It only comes by His Spirit. He must shine forth in our hearts the truth of Christ Jesus. He has to be the one that makes that known unto us. He has to be the one that reveals that to us, or else we cannot discern it. We cannot understand it. We cannot see it but by the power of the Spirit of God. He has to make that known unto us. And so Paul says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Isn't it amazing how two people sitting in the same place can hear the same gospel proclaimed, can hear the same words about Christ given to them, and one says, "Yes, that's right. He's my Savior. Yes, He died for me. Yes, I want Christ this day." And another sitting right beside him said, "What are you talking about? What is this? What gobbledygook is this man giving me?" Sitting in the same place, hearing the same message, hearing the exact same words, hearing the same gospel proclaimed before them, and one here and the other doesn't. What is the difference? It is the Spirit of God revealing to the heart of that individual that they might be able to see Christ. Those two thieves hanging on the cross next to the Lord, one on His right hand and one on His left. When you read the gospel accounts concerning that time, not only were the people that were marching by the cross, not only were they railing and reviling against the Lord, not only were they cursing and mocking Him as they went by, but the Bible tells us those two thieves did as well. Both of them, hanging there in the very moments of their deaths, they too were mocking the Lord and reviling against Him along with the rest of the crowd. But sometime in that process, sometime in the Lord speaking there, those seven statements that He made while hanging there on the cross, somewhere in the midst of that time, the one on His right hand had a change of heart. The one on His right hand had a change of mind. Somewhere in that process, as he watched the Lord, as he heard the Lord, as he watched the crowds coming before Him, somewhere in that process, this one on the right hand, his heart was changed and Christ was revealed to him. So that when they passed by and continued their reviling and continued their mocking, the one on the left said, "Yeah, you freed others. You raised others. Free us. Free yourself and free us." And the one on the right says, "Listen, you and I deserve what we're getting. You and I deserve the punishment that's being laid out on us, but He's done nothing wrong. Lord, remember me when You enter into Your kingdom." And Jesus told him there, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Somewhere in that process, this man's heart was changed. That's the revelation of the Spirit of God. That's how God works with His Spirit, as He makes known to our hearts who Christ is and what He has done for us. Cannot be discerned, cannot be understood, but by the Spirit of God. This fullness of God, this fullness of Christ, rather, as He is revealed in the Godhead, this fullness was questioned by the apostles. during the Lord's ministry, even with him every day, even seeing the miracles that he would perform in their presence, even still they would question him, even still they would seek further understanding, even still they would wonder, are you truly the Christ? In John chapter 14, the Lord has revealed to them this wondrous promise that he was going away from them. Excuse me, but in going away, he was preparing a place for them, that where he was, there they may be also. Thomas said, how can we go and how can we know the way? Jesus declared to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, he says in verse 7, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. So he declares to him there in verse number 7, I'm the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's what he declares to them. And Philip says there in verse number 8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. All we need to see to have peace, all we need to see to have clear understanding, all we need, Lord, to have our faith renewed and restored in what you're talking about, simply show us the Father and we'll be fine. That's all we need to say. Just show us that'll be enough. Jesus saith unto him, verse number 9, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? They would ask, they would question. Philip here, show us the Father. Jesus rebuked him, Philip, I've been with you all this time, and you're saying, show us the Father. Been with you all this time. I've worked all of these miracles. I've performed all of these things before you. Verse number 10, he says, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. So he declares very clear, I'm the fullness of the Godhead bodily. If you want to know what God looks like, here I am, is what he was saying. There's no clear picture of who God is or what he looks like than Christ Jesus our Lord. He is the embodiment of the Father. Go back to Hebrews 1 and look with me there in verse number 3. Hebrews 1 and verse number 3. We'll read begin in verse 1. Read those first three verses this passage. Hebrews 1 verse 1. Love this passage. Paul, here in writing this book of Hebrews, is describing the superiority of Christ over everything else. That he is chief. That he is first. That he is foremost. He's above everything else. And he begins with that thought here in verse 1. He says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. He's declared himself, he says, in Christ Jesus, He's revealed himself. He's shown himself to us in Christ Jesus. The same Lord, Paul says, who made everything else. God reveals himself to us in him. Who being, he says in verse number 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Who being the brightness, he says, of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Christ Jesus our Lord is the fullness of the Godhead. He is the fullness of God to man. A.W. Pink wrote it like this. He says, amazing and glorious fact. It is in the perfection of manhood that the fullness of the Godhead is in Christ revealed to our faith. We could not ascend to God, so he descended to us. All that men can ever know of God is presented to them in the person of his incarnate Son. Hence, as Paul would say in Philippians 3 and verse number 10, that I may know him is the constant longing of the most mature Christian. That I might know him. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection, Paul would say. Pink would go on to say, he said, it is our design to declare some part of that glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is revealed in Scripture and proposed as the object of our faith, love, delight, admiration, and adoration. But after our utmost endeavors and most diligent inquiries, we have to say, as Job would say in Job 26:14, how little a portion of him we understand. His glory is incomprehensible. His praises unutterable. Some things a divinely illuminated mind can conceive of. But what we express in comparison to what the glory is in itself is less than nothing. Even in that revelation that God gives us of Christ, even in seeing that fullness of the Godhead bodily in him, it is still a very small portion. Not because of what he has revealed, but simply what we are able to comprehend. He is so incomprehensible. He is so vast. He is so big. He is so undefinable in such a way that we can only grasp a little portion, even that which is revealed by the Spirit of God to us. How vast is our King? How wondrous, how glorious is our King before us? That understanding of Christ that is given us by the Spirit of God is knowledge that is to be preferred above everything else. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 8. Verse 7, we'll read verse 7 of that as well. Paul says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, he says, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. That I may win Christ. That is the chief knowledge. That is the chief desire for mankind to have is to want, to desire, to seek after who is Christ. That's chief among everything else. Boy, that's not the way we act, though, is it? We act as if the chief thing is our money. We act that the chief thing is our careers. We act as if the chief thing is doing this or doing that, our entertainment, our pleasure, our this and our that. We are consumed by the things of this world, and so often the world is what has our attention instead of Christ. And then we, as God's people, being consumed by the world, are then trying to tell the world about Christ and what do we have to offer when we're acting like everybody else is. For us, especially, I mean, it's the chief knowledge. It is the chief revelation. It is the supreme thing to know who Christ is. For all of His creation, that is chief, that is supreme, that is the preeminent thing. But for the child of God, that should be our daily desire. For the child of God, I mean, the reality is it's chief. The reality is it is preeminent, but it needs to be the desire of our hearts. Have that knowledge of Christ Jesus. To know that fullness of Him. To seek that glory of Him each and every day. That we be found faithful. That we be found faithful. That we might be able to declare to this world the wonder of Christ. Paul says, yea, verse 8 again, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered, he says, the loss of all things and do count them but dung. You know all those things that Paul is talking about losing there? When you consider that what he lost, what we realize that that's all the things that we hold dear. Those things he's talking about counting as dung, those are those things that are most important to us in our lives. Most important to us in our society. Paul says, I've counted those things as loss. I've counted those things as dung that I may win Christ. Because he's preeminent. Because he's first. Because he's chief above everything else. That should be the desire of the child of God. That we might be able to declare, that we might be able to see the fullness of Christ. The fullness of Christ. It is indeed the grandest of all privileges that believers have to behold the glory of Christ. Now by faith, but in a day coming by sight. No one can ever behold the glory of Christ in heaven by sight if he does not first behold it by faith here. There are many that claim, even in our culture today, in our society, there are many that claim to be enamored by Christ based upon some perception they have of him, either from the perspective of history or the perspective of religion. Those are not revelations at all. There's no satisfaction of the heart until one rests in Jesus alone. Until it is all He is, all that you have is Him, simply Christ. Matthew chapter number 11. He tells us here in verse number 28. Matthew 11 and verse 28. Jesus says here, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." Sounds contradictory, don't it? I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Come under the burden, he says, and I'll give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Listen about his yoke here and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Listen. Listen, as long as you are in this flesh, as long as you live on this earth, as long as there is breath in your lungs, you are under some sort of yoke. Whether it be to yourself and the devil, or whether it be unto Christ, you are some under one of two yokes. And so Jesus says, "Come to me, get under my yoke. My yoke's easy. My burden's light." Why is his yoke easy? Why is his burden light? Because he's already done the work. He's already done the work. It's done. It's finished. He's already worked and he's completed it for us. So come unto him. Come unto him. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you at rest in Christ today? Do you know today? Can you declare it openly today? Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Savior. He washed my sins. He paid for me. Paul says to us in 1 Timothy, chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 16. He says, "Without controversy." In other words, there's no argument about this. "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Friends, that's Christ Jesus. That's Christ Jesus. Again, Pink declared, he says, "In this mystery, we are called upon to behold the highest exhibition of the divine wisdom, goodness, and condescension. The Son of God assumed manhood by union with Himself, thereby constituting the same person in two natures, yet infinitely distinct as those of God and man. There, by the infinite became finite, the eternal temporal, and the immortal mortal, yet continued still infinite, eternal, and immortal. Therefore, it's foolish to imagine one that is so drowned in the love of this world could have any love for Christ or any real desire for His presence. And likewise, how foolish it is for one who has tasted that the Lord is gracious to have any love for this world and give ourselves to the pursuits of it over our time with the Lord. Oh, that it would be our chief desire. Oh, that it would be our chief aim, that we might know Christ. That we might be able to see the fullness of Him. Listen to Paul's testimony here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 8. Paul says here, "We are troubled on every side, not distressed, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, and that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Listen to what he says in verse 17. "For our light affliction." What was that light affliction? Paul said he lost everything. He lost everything. Would eventually lose his life. And he calls it a light affliction. A light affliction. "For our light affliction," he says, "which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." For one who can fix his eyes on the Lord of glory, when all else falls away from under him, he can be lifted up. He can be delivered by the Lord Jesus himself. Because that's where our faith is at. That's where our hope is at. That's where our trust is at. Christ Jesus, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Indeed, we must be fixed upon the reality that this world has nothing for us. When as Proverbs would say, it's all vanity and vexation of spirit. And then we must be fixed that it is Christ alone that can satisfy our hearts. Psalm 73 and verse number 25. Psalm 73 and verse number 25. He writes, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee." None that I desire beside thee. Only Christ can satisfy the heart. Only Christ can give you peace. Only Christ can show you the glory of God. Only Christ. He is made for us all in all. Colossians chapter 2, or 1 rather, verse 18. Colossians 1 and verse 18 and 19. It says, "He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell." All fullness dwell. He is revealed. He is revealed as all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Do you desire Christ Jesus today? Is He the most important? Is He the most important thing to you? Come to Christ. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Come to Him. Trust Him this day. He alone is the fullness of God. He alone is the Savior of our souls. He alone is life everlasting. Come to Christ. Let's all stand. Brother Frank, would you bring us a song?